Good evening, new visioners. Welcome to another Saturday evening service. My name is Pastor Christina Leader, and I am the assistant pastor here at New Vision Fellowship. Normally, I would be welcoming your smiling faces to an actual building, but during the pandemic, we are holding our services right here online. It might be different, but we are still worshiping the God of the universe. As we journey through our service this evening, I pray you are filled with hope and with love. I pray you find some encouragement and some wisdom. You are loved, and we are so grateful you could join us tonight. I'm going to pray, and then I hope you enjoy the service. Most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to come together and be able to worship you as a family, even during this trying time. Father God, I ask that through our worshiping through the Word this evening, that you will just share your wisdom and your love with those who are able to hear. Father God, be with this community as we are going through our service and beyond. We love you. We are grateful. In your precious Son, Jesus Christ's name, amen. I hope that you enjoy the service.
Welcome to the portion of our service called Worship Through the Word, where we share teaching, where we look at the scripture that many of us have read this last week as we're going through the Bible together, reading it every day. And we just explore a little more deeply what some of the scripture we've read has to say, and also how we can apply it to our lives. And this is certainly one of my favorite parts, because I get to do research and it just takes me deeper into the Word, as well as it always speaks to me when I dig into the Bible. But it starts with that reading first. I read it and it starts stimulating something inside me, and I say, hey, I want to do some more reading on that. And I know that many of you who are reading through the Bible have told me how you end up not just doing it for 20 minutes a day, which is about how long it would take if you just read the text through each day that we're reading, but actually longer, because you're on Google and you're looking at things and you're going deeper in the Word. And that's awesome, because that's God's purpose for us, to go deeper in His Word. And what we've been doing this entire year, since January of 2020, is going through the Word and praying a prayer together. When we were meeting together in a room called a church building, we were praying a prayer together each week. We would consider the prayer and decide if it was something that we wanted to be courageous and pray, because it is a prayer that God's going to answer. It's this prayer.
God, I want all that you have for me, and I believe it will be revealed through your Word. Illuminate your Word in my life this coming year. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. That means that we are in agreement with God and with each other. So let's get into the Word. Tonight I want to look at 1 Samuel chapter 30. But before reading the text, let me give a little bit of background. David and his fighting men were living with the Philistines, and David had a very close relationship with their king. He was trusted, he was an advisor, a confidant even, to their king. They had a great relationship. But when they were going into battle, some of the Philistine army opposed having David and his fighting men join them. They were afraid that there would be a chance for them to turn on the Philistines in the middle of battle, join the enemy, and kill them. So much to the king's sorrow, he had to ask David and his men to return back to their home. And this is what it says in 1 Samuel chapter 30. I'm going to go ahead and read it, almost the entire chapter, except for the very last verse. And I'll stop along the way and do a little bit of teaching as we go. So it says, 3 days later, when David and his men arrived home at their town of Ziklag, they found that the Amalekites had made a raid into the Negev and Ziklag, where they had crushed Ziklag and burned it to the ground. They had carried off the women and children and everyone else, but without killing anyone. It's believed that the Amalekites were getting some revenge on the Israelites, on David and his men, because of a battle that they had been in a few chapters earlier in 1 Samuel. And so they came when all the men were gone. They burnt their town to the ground. They carried away all the women and the children, but they didn't kill any of them. And this isn't because they were compassionate. This was because a person alive was more useful than a person who had been killed. So it goes on to say in the next verse, verse 3, when David and his men saw the ruins and realized what had happened to their families, they wept until they could weep no more. David's two wives were among those captured. David was now in great danger because all his men were very bitter about having their sons and daughters taken, and they began to talk of stoning him. But David found strength in the Lord his God. He was endangered because he was being blamed for all of this. He was the one who led them into the battle with the Amalekites. So therefore, when the Amalekites sought revenge, he's the one that they looked at to blame. They also blamed him that they had been away. If they had been there, they could have fought and maybe saved their family. They blamed him because they were in deep, deep grief and deep, deep sorrow. It says that they cried, they wept until they could weep no more. Have you ever just cried yourself out? Sometimes it seems like it's an ever-flowing amount of tears that you have in the midst of grief and pain. I read that part of the scripture this last week, and I was so reminded of how I felt when I became a widow about 19 months ago, and then how I felt during this pandemic, and seeing people alone and isolated, and realizing many people are experiencing, maybe for the first time, what that loss and grief feels like. Whether we're just separated from our loved ones and not able to see them, or whether we're worried and anxious about their health and about our economy and about when will we get the upper hand over the coronavirus, or whether you've actually lost someone during this time, whether it's to the coronavirus or to other causes, and not able to attend a funeral or a memorial service, all of those things add up together and bring on that weeping that goes so deep into your soul that you weep until you can weep no more. And that's how these men felt. Yet it says David found his strength in the Lord his God. That's where we find our strength too. David was just as sad as all the other men were. He had lost his wives. He had lost his children. And he as well spent time weeping and grieving, and I'm sure comforting his men. And I'm sure that they were all trying to comfort one another. And then David remembered where his strength lay. And that's what we get to do when we're pressed on all sides, when we're feeling that anxiety, the worry, the separation, the loss. We can feel those things. We can cry until we can cry no more. And then some. But we realize and we recognize that our strength is in the Lord. And when I make a statement like, when will we get the upper hand over the coronavirus? It's not about us getting the upper hand. It's about God getting the upper hand and turning to Him for our strength. So let's see what happens when David does that himself. We'll pick up in verse 7. Then he said to the priest, bring me the ephod. So the priest brought it. Then David asked the Lord, should I chase after this band of raiders? Will I catch them? And the Lord told him, yes, go after them. You will surely recover everything that was taken from you. David sought God before doing anything else. Now that's a hard thing to do, especially when we get worn down and we're pressured. And I see it a lot in our society right now. People are starting to take some things into their own hands. There's some vigilante justice being sought. And I just wonder, is that God's plan? Doesn't sound like God to me. It sounds more like we're trying to find the answer ourselves. And when David called for the ephod, what that is the garment the priest wears. That was with them when they were in battle, and it was brought back. It was not something that was plundered. It was saved. And he took that and he sought God. And if you remember back just a few chapters in 1 Samuel, King Saul had sought God, and God had stopped answering. But David, as we know, was a man after God's own heart. And so God answered David, and he got a yes. And I believe that if he would have gotten a no, he would not have pursued. He would have waited on the Lord. So we pick up now in verse 9. So David and his 600 men set out, and they came to the brook Besor. But 200 of the men were too exhausted to cross the brook. So David continued the pursuit with 400 men. Along the way, they found an Egyptian man in a field and brought him to David. They gave him some bread to eat and water to drink. They also gave him part of a fig cake and two clusters of raisins, for he hadn't had anything to eat or drink in 3 days and nights. Before long, his strength returned. To whom do you belong, and where did you come from? David asked him. I am an Egyptian, the slave of an Amalekite, he replied. My master abandoned me 3 days ago because I was sick. We were on our way back from raiding the territory of Judah and the land of Caleb, and we just burned Ziklag. Will you lead me to this band of raiders? David asked. The young man replied, if you take an oath in God's name that you will not kill me or give me back to my master, then I will guide you to them. Now this slave had been abandoned because the slaves were only good to people at this time, and I guess all time when slavery is, and unfortunately it is still something that happens around the world in different forms, but they only wanted healthy and strong and capable slaves. And when this slave got sick, he meant nothing to his master. And David came along and his men, and they saw someone in need, and they gave him food and they gave him water, and they helped him regain his strength. So David So he led David to them, and they found the Amalekites spread out across the fields, eating and drinking and dancing with joy because of the amount of plunder they had taken from the Philistines and the land of Judah. David and his men rushed in among them and slaughtered them throughout that night and the entire next day until evening. None of the Amalekites escaped except 400 young men who fled on camels. Okay, 400 men escaped. It took all night, all the next day, and into the next night to win this battle over the Amalekites. There must have been thousands and thousands of men that they were fighting. David got back everything the Amalekites had taken, and he rescued his two wives. Nothing was missing, small or great, son or daughter, nor anything else that had been taken. David brought everything back. He also recovered all the flocks and herds, and his men drove them ahead of the other livestock. "This plunder belongs to David," they said. Oh, how fickle we all are. They were ready to stone him when things didn't look so good. David was smart. He called on the Lord. He had victory on behalf of God. And the men were delighted and wanting him to receive all the plunder that they had. Verse 21 says, "Then David returned to the brook Bezor and met up with the 200 men who had been left behind because they were too exhausted to go with him. They went out to meet David and his men, and David greeted them joyfully. But some evil troublemakers among David's men said, 'They didn't go with us, so they can't have any of the plunder we recovered. Give them their wives and children and tell them to be gone.'" Okay, the plunder had just belonged to David. They come back to the 200 men who did not go into battle with them, and suddenly the plunder belongs to them again. They get to say what happens to it. Interesting study in human characteristics, human nature. So in verse 23, it says, "But David said, 'No, my brothers, don't be selfish with what the Lord has given us.'" David did not let it go to his head. When they were saying the plunder belongs to David, David knew all along that it was what the Lord had given them. David says he kept us safe and helped us defeat the band of raiders that attacked us. Who will listen when you talk like this? We share and share alike, those who go to battle and those who guard the equipment. From then on, David made this a decree and regulation for Israel, and it is still followed today. When he arrived at Ziklag, David sent part of the plunder to the elders of Judah, who were his friends. "Here is a present for you, taken from the Lord's enemies," he said. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Will you pray with me now? Lord Jesus, thank you for your word and what we can learn from it. I pray that now as we conclude our teaching, having just read this great chapter in Samuel, that you will speak to us in ways that this scripture makes new sense, opens up our understanding more clearly, and help us to apply the lessons in it to our own life. In Jesus' name, amen. Our key verses tonight are 1 Samuel 30, verses 23 and 24. And even though I just read them, they bear repeating. It's where David said, "No, my brothers, don't be selfish with what the Lord has given us. He has kept us safe and helped us defeat the band of raiders that attacked us. We share and share alike, those who go to battle and those who guard the equipment." This is where I think we can really make a clear parallel to what we are living through right now, the battle that we are fighting, and what David and his men faced. There were 200 of the men who were not capable at the time of being on the front lines. And so they stayed back. They were the ones who stayed in place and knew that if they went with the rest of the people, that likely they would have caused more harm than good. They would have weakened the entire army, the entire force. There were only 600 men to begin with. And if a third of those would have been weakened, they would not have been assured of the victory that was the outcome. So you can think of them as those of us who have chosen to stay home and shelter in place. Those who do not have the expertise to be the healthcare workers. Those of us who do not have the training to be the grocery clerks, to work at Costco or Trader Joe's or the gas station. The essential workers are the ones who are on the front line, who do have the training, who are capable. And so we have these two different sets of people right now that's so similar to what we read in this scenario in 1 Samuel 30, that I found it really interesting to see how together David brought them. Even though there was division that was trying to brew, they didn't go to battle with us. They don't deserve victory. They actually were all doing their part to ensure victory. And because of that, they reaped the benefits of it. It's the same way with us. We do our part by staying home if we're not an essential worker. And the essential workers are doing their part to keep our world going. After all, staying at home and still having the ability to go to the grocery store, still having the ability to get gas, still knowing that the hospitals are there when we need them and that the specialists are there working, fighting. The scientists are working to discover a vaccine that will stop this virus or some cure that would miraculously keep it from infecting any other person. What's going to happen when it all comes together is that we're going to share in the benefit of it all. Just as David told his men, we share and share alike, those who go into battle and those who guard the equipment. The beauty of the time we are in right now is that humanity can join forces together. We can show our care and compassion for each other by doing the part that we need to do. Now, when I began writing this part of my sermon, I started saying, God, I don't get political. That has no place in the pulpit. And he said, absolutely right. This is not political. This is about being like Christ. This is about putting other people before ourselves. Because we saw the rumblings in David's army, those saying, we fought the battle, we deserve the plunder, despite the fact that they had just declared it was all David's. And we're seeing it in our own country, where people are saying, I don't need to wear a mask. That's taking away my rights and my religious freedom. Somehow indicating that because we believe in God, we're going to be protected over anyone else. That's not how it works. It's because we believe in God that God is going to use us to make sure others are taken care of. Jesus was so clear in that himself. In particular, I think about when he told his disciples that he was going to have to suffer and die. And Peter said, absolutely not. You are the Messiah. You will lead us into battle and we will conquer the Roman government. And Jesus rebuked Peter. He said, you've got it all wrong. In order to be the greatest, you must become the least. You must serve. You must give up your privilege and take up your cross and follow me. And that's what we're asked to do these days, and it's hard. But we don't want Satan to win in dividing our country any more than it's already divided. We want to be the ones in the forefront that's bringing love and compassion and a sound, wise voice. We want to make sure that everything we do, whether it's talking on the phone, talking over our fence with our neighbor, posting something on social media, is done with the attitude of Christ and as citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And it gets hard. It wears us out to continue to pray the same prayers we've been praying. God, heal our land. God, save us. God, bring an end to this. And I'm assured so deeply in my heart because of Jesus Christ, and you should have the same assurance, that that victory will come. We are not staying in our homes because we're afraid. We're not wearing masks because we're afraid. In fact, wearing masks, that's for other people. It's to keep other people well. Washing our hands is to keep us well. We are going to do things because Christ showed us an example of caring and loving other people. And as we see a lot of disruption happening in our country, rather than unity and being united, we must be ever so careful and vigilant to be in this world, but not of this world. Let's go ahead and conclude our time of worship through the word with prayer. Will you join me? Jesus, you are our great healer. You are the great physician. You are also our provision. And God, we thank you for all that you do for us. We thank you that you hear our prayers and that you answer. And we know, God, that you are going to see us through this time, here in the United States as well as around the world. And God, I just pray that your people, those of us who are gathered tonight and those who are gathering all around the world in our own homes, but virtually being together as one body of Christ, allow us to continue to be beacons of hope, to lead with love and compassion, to understand more fully. And God, I think you're teaching us this, what it means to give up ourselves and put others first. And God, I pray that you will continue to speak to us through your word. As we read about David's battles this last week, we understand that he saw his enemy and that he fought a fight face to face. And that, God, we do not see this enemy, but that it is still a battle that we are in. And that whether or not the enemy is seen and clearly known, that you are still the one to bring us victory. And we know that and we claim that in the name of Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to live the life that Christ modeled for us, putting others before ourselves and being the citizens of the kingdom, which means we are in this world, but we are not of this world. Continue to teach us, Lord, more and more what that looks like. In your precious name, we pray, Jesus. Amen. Amen.
We are now going to be worshiping through giving. Here at New Vision, giving can look a little different. Giving can be financial through tithes and offering. The money that is given not only keeps the church running, but also is used to help those who have a financial need in the community. Even though we are not currently meeting in person, the church still has a financial need and a financial obligation. Without the tithes and offering of our members, we cannot serve our community for God as effectively as we should. Another way that we give here at New Vision is with the gift of time or labor. Every Saturday, a group of us go to the Tualatin Valley Gleaners and help with handing out food to those who need it and helping to pack up afterwards. We also give through food donations at times. We are helping to meet a very real need within our community. Without groups like the Tualatin Valley Gleaners, so many people would be going very hungry right now. One of the biggest ways that we give at New Vision is through prayer. We have an intercessory prayer group that meets each week to pray for the prayer requests that we receive. If you have a prayer request, please feel free to send it to Church Office, CHURCHOFFICE, at vision1.org, VISION, the numeral 1.org. We would love to have you help us give back. If you have any questions, please feel free to send us a message or an email. If you're looking to give financially, please go to our website, www.newvisionpeople.org. That's www.newvisionpeople.org, and click on the Give tab and follow the instructions. You can also mail a check to New Vision Fellowship at P.O. Box 5815, Aloha, A-L-O-H-A, Oregon, O-R, 97006. Please allow me now to pray over the gifts that we are giving this evening. Father God, we are so very thankful for the gifts that you give us every single day. The breath in our lungs, the lives that we get to live, our loved ones, our jobs, our community. We are so thankful. And we are so blessed that we get to give back and help your children, help those who are in need. Thank you, Father God, for this opportunity. Thank you for giving us the ability to be able to bless others the way you have blessed us. You are so good, Father God, and for that we are always thankful. In your precious Son, Jesus Christ's name, amen. Thank you for giving, and I hope that you have an amazing evening.